Welcome to another episode of Framed Conversations with special guest Elisabeth Nostedt. We will talk about leadership, communication, and why connecting passion to your potential is so important. Framed Conversations explores what it takes to become who you were supposed to be. I am Åsa Rydhard, your host, a cultural analyst, executive trainer, public speaker, former pastor, and social impact guide. Now, let's meet today's guest. Right, so welcome to another exciting episode of Framed Conversations. And with me today in the studio, I have Elisabeth Nostedt. Welcome, Elisabeth.
Happy to be here.
Hey, yes, I'm so happy to have you here because I've understood that you are very stressed out right now, or at least you have a lot of things going on.
Yeah, a lot of things going on.
A lot of things going on. And for you who haven't met Elisabeth before, I will tell you that Elisabeth Nostedt is an old friend of mine and an exciting personality. She is an experienced project manager with a long career at, for instance, CGI. But she is also an international speaker and coach. And she has twice been a region world, you know, on a world level, advisor in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And that is within an organization called Toastmasters. So I would say that you have two careers, and now you are stepping up to a new level in your ambitions. And that's what makes me so excited, because you're really leaning in, as the US people would say, and saying, hey, here I am, I want something new, I want something big, and I know that I can contribute. And that is not that very common among women, I would say, after having met so many in my life. So that's so good. And I'm especially, you know, impressed that you also have spoken on the international stage for quite a few years now, and even in front of 3,000 people in Kuala Lumpur. Yeah. Oh, that's great, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yes. So I keep saying that you're stepping up your game, and that's because you're now applying to become a world leader by being part of an international board of directors within Toastmasters. So I would like to know, Elisabeth, what is your background? Where did this begin, your career and your ambitions? Was it when you were like 20 and a young little girl? Would she even believe you if you could go back and tell her that this is where you are at now?
Probably not, because what do you dream of when you're 10 or 20? The dreams are different. But I can tell you my speaking career started at the age of 10, where I was involved in speaking competitions. My mother was a great coach, and I even won a few of the competitions. I remember giving a speech about philately, which is almost a tongue twister, but that means stamp collecting. That was a speech that I won a competition with back when I was 10.
And that was in what country?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't say that. So I lived in Winnipeg, Canada. That's the middle of the country of Canada.
I'm just asking because I know, for instance, if we have listeners from Europe or especially Sweden, speech competitions for kids at age 10 is a non-thing. But in Canada, you do that.
Well, certain groups of people probably would. I was probably helping my mother relive her dream. But it was something, or else she picked up something within me and said, you know, here's some place that you could do well at. I don't think I talked a lot then, but she helped me to, you know, get a message and stand confidently on stage. I think that was a big thing, is building up your confidence at the age of 10 is like, wow, that helps you throughout life.
Yes, it does.
I also think that confidence up, you know, goes up and down over the years as well. So,
well, of course it do. And you know, the thing is, making small kids comfortable on stage is actually one part of why we have the so-called music miracle from Sweden, producing so many singers and stuff, because they've been raised in a churchly environment to perform as young kids and up. So it's important to start at an early age, whatever you want to be good at, right?
I think so. It's getting in these 10,000 hours to make you an expert in something.
Yes. So you were 10, what happened?
Yeah.
You moved to Sweden at some point.
Yes.
I know that.
So I went to university, studied. I have three different degrees, but then I got work in the IT industry in Winnipeg and loved the work I was doing, had great group of people to work with. But the thing that one of the deciding factors was working with a lady who, she was a bit shy. She, you know, you wondered what her message was. She was, you know, she was a member of our group. And I was like, something there. And then all of a sudden, even though it wasn't really, but then she became a dynamic person. She stood with confidence. She put her message across. You knew what she was trying to say. So I asked her, what was the difference? And she said she had joined Toastmasters. And I said, okay, I'll take some of that.
Yes. And how many years ago was that?
Oh, very many. it was around when I was 25, 26 or there. But it made a difference in my career there. Helping with the confidence, because a little while after that, then I decided to up my game, and I moved from smaller city Winnipeg to big city Toronto. And, you know, Toronto at that time was around 4 million people, but I was able to get work, and the kind of what I had learned in Toastmasters helped me with the work that I did as well, because I was doing presentations to customers, to people within the company, all sorts of things. So Toastmasters was a great help all the way along through there.
I could imagine that. What would you say is, because I know that you have also developed you've been working a lot about being a leader.
Yes.
So what would you say is the most obvious effects of being a part of Toastmasters for you?
As a leader, because the speaking part definitely, because when you speak well, when you can put a message across, you're also recognized as a leader as well. Mm-hmm. People look up to you in that sense. So I think those things help me, speaking better, help me become a better leader. It's confidence as well, but it's also taking the steps within Toastmasters to be a leader first on a small scale and then be a leader on a larger scale. So being an international leader, as I did through Toastmasters, as well through my work, I led global projects. So this gave me a chance to understand what was happening in the world and lead people at a global level.
Yeah. So if I hear you, I would say that Toastmasters have helped you to develop your potential.
Absolutely, yeah.
And today you have this motto, connecting passion with potential.
Yes.
And we will talk about that really soon. But first, I actually got some questions from the audience of this talk show. So I would like to ask you, because there were, I said, hey, what would you ask? What would you like to know or learn from Elizabeth? So the first question was, seeing back to your, you know, hearing about your career and, you know, the international things you do moving around in the world, what is the biggest challenge leading people from different cultures? Because I know that this is not only, you know, you go to different cultures, but every team or group within Toastmasters is a mix of different cultures. So what would you say is the biggest challenge for you as you experienced it?
I think there's probably a few things, and I think it's, so with a global team, it's very much being aware of what the cultural differences are. like even just me moving from Canada to Sweden,
yeah,
there was cultural differences that you had to learn. Mm-hmm. When I did international team work, then I was able, luckily, to take courses on working with different teams from different cultures, and that helped a lot. One of the first major teams I worked on was working with a team in Japan. And there's quite a difference between Sweden and Japan. Mm-hmm. And I give the example of the team from Sweden going to Japan. And we said, you know, here's the things we expect you to do. And they nodded their head, which we originally took as an understanding of, yes, they're going to go ahead and do that. Yes. And then we returned 2 weeks later, nothing was done. So this was an understanding of what the nod really means. The nod means, yes, I've heard you. It takes another step to get to, yes, I'll do what you're suggesting I should do.
And what is that step? I'm curious.
I don't remember that part now, but we did eventually get the project through at the time.
Because I think actually we could have the same thing in Sweden. If you are meeting up with the team and you are trying to direct them in and advise them and give them, you know, food for thought, and people might even say, yes, that's a great idea. Yes, I will do that. And then nothing happens.
Mm, yeah. Well, I guess in many cases you have to get agreement that they will carry that through in the time period that you work with. And then it probably becomes some negotiation on the time period is, no, I can't do it in 2 weeks. I'm going to need 4 weeks time. I think what I also learned is to be humble, to not expect that they are the same as us, whatever us is. Be curious about their culture, what they do, and so on. Like in that Japan example, we went out with the team we were working with to a karaoke box. So that helped build the understanding between the team, is we could understand who were those who suddenly started to shine because they went into the karaoke box, and then those who didn't feel comfortable singing. There was a difference there. I think also learning some different phrases in the other culture's language helps out a lot. Even if it's as simple as please and thank you, that does help. And if I take that forward to other projects where we really are a team working internationally, but it is primarily a team online like this, I think it becomes watching for facial expressions, listening for tones of voice, seeing if you're getting buy-in from what you're saying and what you're doing with the team. But I can give another example on a large project, and it was people in India, the US, different parts of Europe. And after that project was done, after my part was done, I had two team members come and tell me, you were the best project leader we worked with. And it's like, wow. So did something right in that time. I think there, in that case, it was listening to other people, really listening, and me not doing all the talking.
Well, this is so interesting, Elizabeth, because that's also something I learned throughout my years. And when I coach like technical managers or whatever in speaking, or, you know, getting the message through and stepping up as leaders, we talk a lot about listening. Because before you talk, you need to know where your audience are. And that's the same on the working floor as on the stage. So that's an interesting thing about Toastmasters, or at any time when you really go deep into communication and leadership, you come in and you think when you start walking the path that this is about me learning how to talk. This is about me getting my message out. And when you look back after done the journey, you realize that you actually have learned how to listen. Mm,
for sure. Mm-hmm. And especially international teams, international work through Toastmasters, it's listening. It's understanding the other person.
Very much so. So we started up with talking about the biggest challenge when leading people in different cultures. There was another question on this subject as well, in the same direction, but then they want to know if there is, and I think we already stepped into that question actually, because they wanted to know if you need to adjust how you, you know, how you take care of people or lead people, depending on if you are at your original job like CGI or within Toastmasters or somewhere else. So I would say yes. No.
I would say there's some differences.
Like it's different whenever you go into a new group, right? Or
yeah, it is. But for instance, in Toastmasters, we're all volunteers.
Yes.
But it's people who are very passionate in Toastmasters, mm-hmm. and sometimes in the work situation, people aren't quite so passionate. So I think there's a bit of a difference there. But I think some of the same things: listening, being curious, being open-minded. I didn't say that. Curious and open-minded can very much go together. I think that will help you in any team, wherever you are around the world.
Good advice. I agree. And I want to add, when it comes to leading in an idealistic organization, like a volunteer organization, that if you are struggling with your leadership, don't be sad, because it's the most hard environment you can be a leader within. Because you have no other incitement for making people do what you want to do or to motivate them than their own interests, their own passions, or whatever they are heading for. You can't sack them, you can't fire them, you can't give them a raise, you can't do anything. So if you learn how to lead within Toastmasters or any other volunteer organization, you will really learn how to lead someone from their hearts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one thing I say all the time now is, what I learned in Toastmasters, I could apply at work. What I learned at work, other technical or whatever things, I could apply within Toastmasters. So it's definitely, it becomes seamless. There's not a boundary between the two.
Yeah, and in every organization, you have, you know, use of being humble, being listening, and all those others. Wonderful qualities you were talking about. I think we should talk more about listening leadership, the listening leader.
For sure. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So when do you think that you really started to level up and become the leader you are today?
I think it came in different phases. I think you learn different things over time. Back when I worked in Toronto, I was also leading a large team. And at that time, it was just Canadians and Americans. And believe it or not, there is a difference. So I think it was learning at that time, being aware of those differences. But then maybe it really became most evident when I started larger projects here in Sweden and included even the larger projects I did for Toastmasters. So one of the things that led off the projects in Toastmasters was here in Sweden quite a number of years ago, when the district at the time asked us to do that, and we thought that would be a lot of fun, and we got together a group of people. So this was a group of people, again, volunteers. They were not paid for organizing this. They were doing it on their spare time. But we really got a good team spirit to be able to do that. And that was, it was at that point in time, one of the best district conferences that there'd ever been.
So what made you, this is so, you know, so many people hesitate to step up as leaders. And in Sweden at this point, I know there is a lack of people who want to step into leadership roles. So it's not just about being a woman who don't want to be a leader or a technical manager or whoever you are. It's like a disease all over the region that people don't want to be in leadership positions anymore. And there are many, many different reasons for that. But if you just stay within our personal disposition to hold us ourselves back? What made you step out and step up as a leader?
I think from a very early age, even my mother makes some quotes about how I was, and you don't realize it back then, but I think I wanted to make things happen. And it often meant that I needed somebody to follow me as well. Like, yeah. even as a group of children, if you're going out to play, if you wanted to organize the group of people, you either had to call them all up or you had to go around to their houses and say, hey, come and play at this point in time. And I was always doing that. And then later on, getting into the work life, or even at school where you worked on small projects, but in the work life, is if you wanted to put forward your position or whatever, you had to, you know, speak out, you had to make it known that you had good ideas and you wanted to put them forward, that you wanted things to go in a certain direction. So I think it actually came on fairly early. And then, but then getting into Toastmasters, it helped me learn better ways of how to get this done. And then I could apply it at work and so on.
Yeah. And now today you have this motto that says you need to connect passion to make your potential visible. And that's my interpretation, I know. But, you know, passion is the thing that will make your potential come out. Is that how I got it right? Yeah.
I think passion is something. So I have a passion for Toastmasters because I've seen what it could do for me. I've seen what it did for others. And that's maybe even stronger, is when you see other people grow and develop and become this, you know, confident person that they weren't before. But then if you apply it to the work situation and you dig into what you're supposed to do within a project and you find the key factors in the project that will make, they make this project, it will make somebody's work so much easier or something like that, then adding that passion to it, adding the passion as you're leading the team, then you get more things done, more things happen, more people are satisfied in what they do.
Why do you think it is like that?
Well, if you had to deal with somebody who's boring and, you know, no ideas and no excitement, is like, is that any fun going to work? I don't think so.
No.
So the passion helps add fun in what you're doing yourself, so that you also feel like, yes, I want to go to work today. And yes, I want to go to a Toastmaster meeting, all those things.
Yeah. So it's about leading with passion. And I think that's exactly as you say, especially in volunteer organizations, because people want to feel like that this is important. People want to feel that this is making a difference. People want to feel that this is gives me energy and fun and joy and opportunities to have that. Right? So leading with passion gives that. But, you know, I think this is such a lovely motto, because I've been thinking a lot about potential and passion myself, since I work a lot with clients who are leaders who want to step up their games or elevate their presence or whatever they do. And what I learned throughout the years is that everyone has an important potential. Mm. Everyone has that special thing that the world is waiting for to become visible. And some very often you hold yourself back because you don't think it's important, or why should I? But once you find your passion, once you find your certain, you know, thing that ticks, makes you tick, once you find the importance of what you want to do, nothing can hold you back. Mm. And that's when your potential really shines.
It does, yeah. I think many more people need that bit of help to help them connect their passion and potential. So some people start to go through some personal development courses, and they may find a potential, but then they also need to say, well, how do you connect the passion with it? How do you really bring the passion out with what you're doing?
And that can be, you know, it can take years to explore that. But I think maybe you should say yes more often, because the more you say yes, the more you have the opportunity to try, is this my passion or not? If you just say no, you will never know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, sure. I think of a few personal situations where I was offered the job in Toronto, and it's like, ooh, move from this city to that city. Yes, let's give it a try. And then one of the things that brought me to Europe was, it was actually more being a bit dissatisfied with the work I was doing at the time. And then I heard another person, a friend who'd just been on an around the world trip all by herself, tiny little lady. And she did this. And it's like, and it was also at a time I was reading the book by Anthony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within. And it's like, there it was presented in front of me. I had really wanted to travel the world. And so just with a little bit of planning in place, then I set off on my journey. It was about 2 months after hearing her speak, and traveled the world by myself. And that was also a tremendous learning experience as well, because I talked to people when I wanted some company, and I could be by myself when I wanted to be by myself, and ended up meeting people from all over the world. So tremendous opportunity there as well. And how did I end up in Sweden? Well, that's because I met a Swedish man, and then he followed me at least to a couple places where I was traveling to. So he was persistent.
Yeah, and you found the passion of your heart, and that made you move.
That's right, yeah. It was like, so, when my travel was done, I didn't shorten that. When my travel was done, we said, well, are you coming to Canada or am I coming to Sweden?
But you say, yeah, and you know, when it comes to work and your potential on, in these areas, I truly believe that every person have passions to explore and an important mission in their world. And you know, there is a connection between potential and passion and mission and vision and whatever you call it. And I've seen over and over again how this makes people shine, how this make them so forceful. And I've seen people move their world, not move around the world, just move their world because of the passion they have. So I think I and the audience wants to know, how can we find our passion, do you think? Do you have any tips for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, at the time when I read this book, Awaken the Giant Within, he does go into many things about finding the passion, finding what you love to do. But I think one of the important parts there, and I often go back to it, is looking at what your values are. And the values are what is important to you.
Yeah.
And if you ask yourself, what is important to me, and note them down, then you can start to get the list of where your passion flows. And then as well, you need to rank those values. Is a home more important than a job? Is health more important than a job? Or put them in a ranking order. And then you really have your importance list. Now, that can change over time. For example, when people have children, often their values change very much. It's no longer important for them to say, meet up with their friends in the pub because they love being with their children at home. Mm-hmm. So it does change over time, but I think that's one of the ways people can find their passion.
Yeah. Sometimes I think the big problem is that people look for their passion outside of themselves.
Yeah.
And they look at others and they compare, and then even if they start looking at themselves and start thinking about it, they only look at the surface. Mm. So two people like you, like love traveling the world. I'm sure that if I would meet two or three more people and start talking to them, and they love traveling the world, they would have different reasons for traveling the world.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you need to know what is it. What is the true passion for me about, you know, traveling the world? Yeah. So what is it I do when I travel the world? And this is the same when you talk to leaders on a higher level. They're passionate about leadership, but they all have their special theme. Mm-hmm. So this is a hard work, I think, but it's also very important.
Digging deeper, but inside, examining yourself inside about what you love and what's important to you.
Yes, and maybe do the Japanese exercise and ask yourself why, like 1,000 times.
5 times. Probably. Yes.
Why? Mm. But the magic is that it's so empowering, right?
Mm. Yes.
I used to say that a person who is convinced that the house is on fire will not hesitate a minute on what he needs to do and what he needs to say to save the world, right? Yes. So it's applicable for leaders and for public speakers and everyone.
Everybody needs to examine it, yeah.
If
you find that you're not happy in the work you're doing, you need to examine it more. If you find... if even for Toastmasters who might be listening, if you're not happy in Toastmasters, find out why not and be sure to talk to me so I can ask you those questions.
Yeah, and take the chance. If you are not within Toastmasters, you can come to me as well, but if you want to know why you're not happy at work.
Mm, yeah.
Sometimes you don't even have to change your workplace. Because once you get to know yourself and know what makes you tick, you can redesign your work where you are right now.
Change your mindset.
Change your mindset and have that important and have an important conversation with your boss or manager and make sure that you actually do the things that you are especially passionate about, even at work, right?
Yes.
It's a great thing, Elizabeth. So I'm thinking... this is a framed conversation, and I love to explore what it takes to step out of your frame. Mm. So one key question is, if nothing held you back, what would you be then? Or where would you be? And I'm asking you now.
but I think I've already done so much of that. Like for me, you know, one of the stepping out of the frames was moving from one city to another, like Winnipeg to Toronto was one. Mm-hmm. A second one, traveling around the world by myself and that. Another, moving to Sweden. And then it's just continued on. I keep doing more and more things that step up out of my frame. So even to run campaign for this position to be on the board of directors, this is different. It's because to even submit your application to do this, you have to dig deep within yourself and ask, why are you doing this? You have to write all your history of, you know, what are the skills you're bringing to the board? Mm-hmm. And then there'll be even more when sitting on the board from what I hear from the current people sitting there. So sitting on the board of directors will be an important step. In my exploration over the last bit, I have found two books, and I'm not going to mention them right now, but I have the plan to develop them into presentations that I would like to give at companies. And I think this could make all the difference in companies with these two things. But I won't mention them now. You can watch for more news later.
Oh, you don't want to tell us anything about your new keynote?
Not yet.
Because I wanted to ask you, what is your main message to the world right now? if you just could tell people one thing, what would it be?
Connect your passion and potential.
Yes, connect your passion with potential, and I think that is as I said, so good, and it's a great advice, and I can see that this is a passionate thing for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to see more of you, Elizabeth, and to hear more of you and to have you on the board, seeing your dream come true. Because if nothing holds you back, you will help the world connect their passion with their potential, and that will make such a difference.
Thank you so much, Åsa. Great interview and great discussion.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You have just listened to another episode of Framed Conversations. If you liked it, comment, share with your friends, or subscribe to this channel to get a notice about the next episode. Until then, may your way be ever in your favor, and take care.